Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion. You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel. You are the man. You're a triple world champion.
Can I do donut?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast and to round 7 of the 2013 season, Canada. After the glitz and glamour of Monaco, we return to a track that's very fast, very tight and rather dangerous. It has a well-deserved reputation as the home of never a dull moment racing, long, long straights into hard-breaking corners stress both driver and car. Failures and little battles with the barriers are pretty common here. Based on the Île Notre Dame in the St. Lawrence River, local wildlife often play a part in the weekend too, with seagulls, groundhogs and the native brown beaver often forgetting their road safety routine over the weekend and popping up in front of cars. Coming up on the podcast, we speak to David Coulthard and Christian Horner. We talk to New York Knicks star Carmelo Anthony, plus we hear from one of F1's biggest fans. First, Katie spoke to Mark Webber to find out what he likes about the Canadian Grand Prix.
Mark, tell us why you like the Canadian Grand Prix.
It's pretty similar to Melbourne, actually. Obviously, it's a good atmosphere. I think the city stops for the race. The Grand Prix's been there for a long time now, so they're huge Formula One fans. And the track always provides an interesting Grand Prix. Before we had the tyres that we have now, it was even quite spectacular back in the early 2000s and whatnot. So it's been a very, very spicy Grand Prix, let's say. Different downforce levels, different sort of performances from the cars on the straights and cornering. So it's the track layout that provides that. And also, it's quite hard on cars. Traditionally, it's a hard race on gearboxes and brakes and all those type of things. So there's always an element of surprise at Canada. And it's a good circuit for the drivers to drive on. It's sort of another street circuit, if you like. And just a good atmosphere and one that we all enjoy visiting.
And do you have a favourite section of the track?
I think the second sector is probably the most enjoyable part, getting the chicanes right, up close to the walls. The last sector is not that interesting, obviously the long straight just with one chicane, but you need obviously a very good car with plenty of power and very efficient aerodynamics. But the second sector is quite busy and very, very important part of the track to get right.
And away from the circuit, do you have a top tip of a place to go out?
Well, there's loads of good restaurants if you want to eat out in the evenings, but also there's a nice national park at the top of the hill if you want to go running or even go up there on the mountain bike a little bit and have a look around. All the locals like doing that as well. So generally you stick to where the locals sort of go because you're not going to be disappointed because obviously it's well proven. So that works very well up there. And it can be quite hot too. It can be quite nice temperature-wise, so you can get to outside and enjoy the elements. And there's actually a mountain bike area called Mont Tremblant, which is about 50 minutes outside Montreal, and that's a good place to go mountain biking as well.
Onto the race here this weekend. Canada is the one that's evaded us in the past, but today Sebastian Vettel drove a superbly controlled race in Montreal to claim his first Canadian Grand Prix victory, finishing over 14 seconds ahead of nearest challenger Fernando Alonso of Ferrari. Lewis Hamilton finished in third place for Mercedes, followed by Mark Webber. Starting from pole position, Seb easily kept hold of P1 when the lights went out. Here is Seb after the race.
I think we weren't desperate to win here, but for sure it's great to take it off the list, mostly because it's such a nice race, so many fans here. The sun came out today, which is a big surprise. We didn't expect that yesterday at all. So all in all, a great race. You know, it was important to pull away in the beginning, open the gap. I was pushing quite hard, pretty close to the walls here and there, but you never know what's going to happen later on. So every second you pull out in the beginning could help you. Obviously, we then saw that we could control the race and the pace from where we were, but as I said, you don't know that starting the race. Obviously, I tried to stay on it. I didn't want to fall into a rhythm that just developed in getting too slow, and I didn't want to get lazy, but was a bit greedy in the first corner, lost the rear, and had to open the car. Fortunately, there was no wall there, but I think every year you come here, you don't really want to brush the walls, but equally it's when you do and you get away with it, you know that you've been on the limit and trying.
Mark, meanwhile, made a good start but suffered a few problems later in the race, but still managed a solid fourth place. Here he is after the race.
I got a sensational start. Really didn't have too many places to go. I went to the middle, and then obviously Bottas and Nico were in there, so I had to go to the other side. So I lost a little bit of momentum because, it's a bit like Monaco, where hopefully we're getting our start sorted, but we've got these last two races we haven't had opportunity to show how good they've been. But anyway, so then settled in by Nico, and it became quite evident that he was probably, you know, managing the pace a little bit more, and trying to clear him wasn't that easy. We had the car very critical on temperatures, so I had to sit out of the slipstream and manage the car temperature, which was also a little bit of a curveball. Then Mercedes covered us well at the stop, and then the battle was on again. But I was happy to see Mercedes fit the option for Nico, because I thought that was going to bite him in the arse, and it turned out that it did, which was good. Finally got past him, and then the car was happy then. Obviously everything started to cool down, and we could get into a rhythm, until we caught a pay driver with no mirrors, and then I lost the front wing. So the car was very damaged after that, and then that was the race. Very, very difficult from there. I was really keen, obviously, to get on the podium. I think we had everything teed up very well to do that, but you can't have a bleeding car with Fernando around you. Obviously he's gonna capitalize on that.
David Coulthard knows this track very well. Laura caught up with him after the race.
Okay, David, so start by taking us on a lap of the Montreal circuit.
It's a great track, very challenging because of the high-speed nature, 200 miles an hour into the braking zones. The lap really starts as you present yourself into the last chicane. You've got to get a good exit to make sure that you carry your speed across the start-finish line, 100 miles an hour through turn one, dragging speed off as you slow the car into the apex of turn two at 50 miles an hour. And then immediately as you roll through there, you're scrabbling for traction as you rise up towards the first chicane. Three and four. Four is really the one you have to look out for, because if you make a mistake, you touch the wall, as we saw Sebastian Vettel do during the Grand Prix. Through five, made famous because Olivier Panis had his crash down the Ligier, breaking both his legs. Out of there, short burst into six, seven, taking second gear, short shift into third, and then you grow the speed all the way down the back straight under the bridge, which went quite tricky when you have changeable weather conditions, because the water tends to sit there, into eight and nine. Quite an open chicane on exit, and then you have the rundown pass where Robert Kubica exploded his Sauber against, or the BMW as it was at that time, against the wall, and a big, big stop into turn 10. Spike of well over 5G of braking as you roll the car down into first gear. Short shift second, release cars into a DRS zone if it's the Grand Prix, and then down the longest section of 100% throttle. It's 13 seconds of maximum speed up to just under 200 miles an hour, and then huge amount of braking energy. You know, put the brakes above 1,000 degrees as you then stop the car, rattle over the sausage curves, as they're affectionately known, at the last chicane, brush the wall of champions if you're really, really skillful, and then run for the line. All in all, it's a high-speed rollercoaster ride for the drivers, pretty exciting for the spectators because, like Monaco, you're sitting above the track. Fun for the teams because you're staying right in the city of Montreal. You feel the energy and enthusiasm of the town. This weekend was a bit of a dampener because of all the rain, but come Sunday, the sun was shining.
Okay, and then can you do a quick recap of the race for us?
Race was great. Lights went out, Seb won, and he stood in the podium celebrating. I think it was a great race, because I was disappointed after Monte Carlo. I felt that it was too much tyre management, people driving well below the limit of the car. Today, I thought that I was seeing, you know, flat out Grand Prix racing. We saw Sebastian with a big lead touch the wall at four, run wide at turn one. We saw some great battles between Fernando Alonso and Lewis Hamilton. Nico Rosberg, a little bit anonymous. The Lotuses tried to one stop, it didn't work out. Great race from Jean-Éric Vergne, Paul de Resta coming through on one stop, was pretty impressive to watch. So overall, I think there was a lot of action. Black marks in the book for those being lapped. I think there was some really shoddy performance from cars being overtaken by cars that were going much quicker than them. No safety car, which is normally a feature of this circuit. So overall, I think as we leave here, going into race 8 in Silverstone, you've got a Red Bull, a Ferrari and a Mercedes on the podium. It shows that Formula 1 is spreading the love amongst the teams.
We just want you to give a song selection for the boys in the garage for their playlist tonight. What would that be?
I really like that. Who's that guy? Thick, something thick with Pharrell. You know, it's like hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Hey. That's a really good song. But I definitely go also for Pharrell with the Daft Punk song. I like that one. You know, we're up all night to get funky. You know, I like that one. And I would put Mirrors by Justin Timberlake. I think it's a really emotional song, and he's a great singer and performer.
I kind of sense that you've practiced that one in the mirror a few times.
I haven't practiced it in the mirror, but I have listened to it on repeat. When I was doing the Mille Miglia, I had mirrors in my ears for hours and hours.
Mirrors and mirrors. Okay, last question. Where are you off to now?
We had the opportunity to see the Rolling Stones live in concert in Montreal, but Karen and I have decided to jump on the BA flight back to London, get home to Europe, get ourselves back in the time zone, and rush home to our children. So I'm kind of figuring that the Rolling Stones will still be doing it in 30 years, so we can see them again next time.
I like the singing there, David. Maybe we should release an album. David Coulthard sings the hits.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a really good song. We're up all night to get funky, you know.
This race attracted some of the world's biggest sporting stars too. Laura managed to chat with New York Knicks star Carmelo Anthony.
So I'm joined by Carmelo Anthony, who's a New York Knicks basketball player. Could you start by telling us just exactly how tall you are?
I'm actually 6'8".
So you must have quite a good vantage point up there.
I'm kind of average in my sport.
Okay. Did it help viewing the race today?
I had a great time in the race. It was my first, you know, F1 Formula race. I had an opportunity to come out here and just enjoy it. And it's different now just being a fan of a different sport other than, you know, my respective sport, and seeing how much it takes to get on that track and race and the focus level. You know, so when it comes to that, the competition side of it, I can relate to that.
Okay. And if you had to describe that race in three words, what would those three words be?
Spectacular,
yep.
Fun, and challenging for the driver.
And our drivers are obviously both pushing the boundaries to the maximum in that race. How do you push the boundaries in your field?
Well, I think just a matter of just trying to do more than the average. You know, getting to that limit and trying to push past that limit. You know, trying to, you know, figure out what's next and trying to just do more and, you know, and never settling, you know, for anything.
Okay. The boys are packing up in the garage now, and they've got a playlist playing, and we'd like you to nominate a song to add to that playlist that you think will motivate them this evening.
I would give them probably the Daft Punk album.
Okay.
The whole album. Yeah, the whole album.
Straight in.
Yeah, straight in.
Okay, great. And then, final question.
Huh?
Do you think you'll be able to help us party tonight?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm out here, a couple of my partners, you know, hardtime.com, and we're just trying to see what happens. We out here just being fans of the F1.
Keeping an open mind.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
What a man. It wasn't just world-class basketball players enjoying all the action this weekend. The paddock also welcomed Red Bull athlete and cyclocross champion Tim Johnson. Laura spoke to him to see how he was finding his F1 experience.
So I'm joined by Red Bull athlete and cyclocross champion Tim Johnson. Tim, could you explain to our listeners what cyclocross actually involves?
That's actually the toughest question that I get anytime. Cross is like a mix of road racing and mountain biking. It's actually older than mountain biking, but it's a really high intensity. It's an hour-long race. It takes place in like a city park kind of setting. You know, pavement, grass, dirt, mud, uphill, downhill. And a lot of times you'll see photos of cyclocross, and we'll be running with our bikes on our shoulders.
And then you join us here in Montreal this weekend. Is this your first F1 race?
So I've been here to watch the F1 race before, but I sat in a seat in the stands. Definitely not quite the same as it is like being here in the paddock.
Cool. And you've actually worked with the team before. Could you tell our listeners when that was and what you did?
I was lucky enough to have my wits just scared out of me. I was working with the promotion around the New York, New Jersey F1 race. So I got to ride my bike around David Coulthard while he's doing a donut outside of New York. The scariest thing I've ever done on a bike, ever.
So that was obviously the show car out on the streets versus coming here and seeing the race unfold from inside. inside the garage.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, for someone who doesn't spend a lot of time in F1, it's shocking to see what actually goes into things and how many people are involved. I mean, even with the show car, there's still two cars and, you know, 24 sets of wheels and, 20 people, 20 mechanics who are there working on the car. So even that was shocking, but to now be in the pits, in the paddock, seeing the garage, seeing two teams, two drivers, the show and everything about F1 is just amazing. I'm a little bit of a motor guy. I grew up around cars and motorcycles, and this is like a dream come true.
And then just end by telling us what's next for you. Where do you go from here?
I race cyclocross. It's a fall and a winter sport. Starts in September, ends in February. So now I'm kind of in my preseason. I do a lot of work with bicycle advocacy. I do a thing called the Ride on Washington, which helps to raise awareness for bicycle advocacy. Cycling is getting, you know, more and more people on bikes all the time, and knowing that Mark is a cyclist is really cool, because when he's out training for his next race, it's really nice to be able to do it safely, you know, and not be afraid of getting hit while you're out riding, and that's what we're really getting, you know, more people on bikes and safer is definitely our goal.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a great deal of entertainment provided in the paddock over the course of the weekend. We managed to speak to DJ and producer Sandy Dupavel.
Sandy, could you start by telling us what brings you to the racetrack here in Montreal today?
Well, I came here to perform. I'm a singer and a DJ, as well as a producer, and I came here to entertain the people, create some sort of vibe, and write in between the races, and I was brought here by Sennheiser, which is my sponsor, and honestly, I am blown away. This is a major opportunity, and honestly, being right there on the tracks, seeing the drivers, seeing the team, is incredible. Everything.
Okay, and what was on the turntables you were playing up in Paddock Club today?
I went on with little surprises. I love funk and I love R&B, but I'm a house DJ. So every time I get to kind of put some vocals from R&B track, from a disco track, and put a twist to it, bring it a little more up-tempo, is it creates a magic, because people are kind of recognizing the song and unexpectedly being surprised by the groove. So that this is what I do. And today, and the opportunity I get right there, because people are watching the race and they're not really focused, but once they hear something they like and they kind of get, you see them move a little, and then I know I did a great job.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And what were the crowd like up there?
It's between 25 to 45 and above. So they're not into, like, we don't come here to party, obviously, but we come here to be entertained, yet in a very specific way, not like in an aggressive way. They want a groove. They don't want to be like under the, which all the noise and all this big music. They want to feel like, you know what, it's grooving them. They can move a little, yet not be distracted.
So kind of setting the scene, I suppose.
Exactly. So everything was just went well, because as I was hearing, okay, there's cars coming, so I'm going to turn it down a little, bring a little more of a funkiness to my set. And then as there's nothing in between, then I bring it back up so I can play along.
Montreal attracts some great characters from around the world. Laura tracked down one of the sport's biggest fans.
Okay, so I'm joined by Dale, who's joined us on the open house day here in Montreal. Dale, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what brings you here?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, United States, and I come every year for the Grand Prix in Montreal. I love the Grand Prix up here. It's probably my favorite, and I love the atmosphere, and I love the track.
And you're certainly something we would regard as a super fan. Could you describe to our listeners how you've demonstrated that on your body?
I have the Red Bull logo, the two bulls, from my knee all the way down to my ankle. It is pretty much the entire right side of my leg, of my right leg.
Okay, and did we see the track outline on you somewhere as well?
Yes, I have the outline of the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve on the inside of my leg also, my right leg.
And why did you choose that track?
Because I love Montreal. Montreal. It is really, truly a great track. So much history here. I also love the city. I love how they embrace F1 and everything they do for the fans when they come to the city.
And where will you be watching the race from this weekend?
I will be watching from Turn 1. I've had those seats for about 4 years, and it's great. You get to see the cars come down the start-finish, and you get to see all the action going into Turn 1, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That is serious commitment there. So, overall, a successful weekend of racing for the team at a race that has proved tough in the past. Katie spoke to Christian Horner about the race.
Okay, so finally we've won the Canadian Grand Prix. Did you think coming here this weekend that we might win it?
Well, to be honest, at the beginning of the year, what I tend to do is look at the calendar and think, well, it'd be great if we could win this event or that event. And you know, Montreal is one that stood out as being a bogey circuit for us for the last few years, and to have achieved the win in the manner that we did was fantastic, especially after a couple of years ago having led the race from start to finish throughout safety car delays and rain delays, and losing it on the last lap to Jenson Button. The performance Sebastian put in today was absolutely marvellous.
And then Montreal itself, have you been out and about this weekend?
A little bit. I've had a few bits on with Infinity, where I was in the old part of Montreal last night, but it's been a pretty wet and soggy weekend. I was at a gala dinner on Thursday evening for the charity for the organisers of Montreal, and tonight I'm very lucky that I'm going to see for the first time ever the Rolling Stones before going off to another Infinity event tomorrow.
And is that with Adrian?
No, Adrian's heading back to the UK. He's got a flight tonight, so I'm sure he'd like to have maybe strut his stuff to Mick Jagger, but unfortunately the flights don't really work. So
who are you going with?
I'm going with Sebastian.
And what's your favourite Rolling Stones song?
Brown Sugar.
Okay, well, have fun tonight, and we'll catch up with you in Silverstone.
Look forward to it.
Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. If you want more action from the paddock or to get all the latest news from the team, make sure you check out redbullracing.com. Our next stop takes us back near to the factory, Silverstone, in 3 weeks' time. Until then, take care.